You're tuned to WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner Syracuse, 88.1 Ithaca Community Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Moscow, Free Radio Olympia, KQRP Salida, WGDR Plainfield, KWMD Kasilof Anchorage, WZKW Kingsville, KOWA Olympia, WRFN Nashville, WUOW Oneonta, KRBS Oroville, WKNH Keene, Radio Veronica US, WYQZ Warrenton Bealeton, KSOW Cottage Grove, or WMRW Warren.
To the rich man's bright lodges I ride in this wind. On my good horse I call you my shiny black bears. To the playhouse of fortune, to take the bright silver and gold you have taken from somebody else.
This is Unwelcome Guests. I'm Lynn Gary. I've said that I'm not exaggerating when I say that hydrofracking shale to extract gas has destroyed the land, the air, and the water wherever it has been done. There are no exceptions. It also destroys the character, peace, and beauty of the place, as well as, in many cases, the fabric of community, fracturing longtime friendships. Fundamentally, it lays waste to a variety of freedoms, as you will hear demonstrated by example on the program this week. Our featured presentation is the stories of three people from Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, whose beautiful countryside is being reduced to poison and profit by gas drillers. Each of the people's stories bring out a different aspect. They were interviewed by a group of people from the Shale Shock Coalition, a citizens' anti-fracking group based in the Ithaca area, who made the trip to Pennsylvania at the end of October. The witnesses spoke under condition of anonymity, so they will be introduced by first name only. Why they wish this will become obvious as you hear the stories. A couple of weeks ago, I played you the documentary Blue Gold on the corporate theft of water. Our first witness, Pat, will talk about the contamination of her water, as well as many other people's wells in the area. The contamination of water is pervasive, and it's easy to understand why this should be so. Drilling a well of any kind opens up an empty space that mutable materials in the ground will fill, whether water, methane, aka natural gas, radon gas, or any other substance present in the ground along the length of the drill bore. Material from lower levels will be brought up through the bore as the drill is withdrawn, just like the wood chips that come up in the drill bit when you use a power drill. Any substances used to lubricate the drill will go down into the earth. Water, the universal solvent, will pick up all these substances as it moves through the ground. Water runs through the ground for miles and can pick up and transfer such materials into wells and reservoirs. A so-called buffer of 1,000 feet is nothing in a hilly landscape, which pretty much describes the areas of Pennsylvania where they are drilling and areas of New York where they will drill if we fail to stop them. I know that many of you are concerned about issues of freedom and tyranny. Having your own supply of clean water that you don't have to pay anyone for, and thus who cannot withhold it from you, is the most basic freedom there is, and one that otherwise poor rural people do have. Remember in The Ascent of Humanity how Charles Eisenstein laid out the process of enclosure and commodification of every area of life. This was taking from you something you once had for free or did for yourself, and now making you pay someone to obtain it. As you will hear, these people once had beautiful water. They now have to buy bottled water. Our second witness, Joyce, will discuss the plans to build a water treatment plant to clean up the water used in fracking. This enormous and expensive installation will take free water out of the commons that the gas drillers have appropriated from the lakes and streams, fouled, and then made their property by, quote, cleaning it, and then selling it back to the people whose free water they took and destroyed. This is the capitalist business model. Even now, in some corporate boardroom, some drilling company is no doubt trying to figure out how to buy a water treatment company so they can make profit twice on ruining our homes in one go. I wanted you to bear these things in mind as you listen to Pat, interviewed by members of the Shale Shock Citizens Coalition a couple of weeks ago.
I know you've had a whole series of disasters here in this town.
We are all in a constant state of trauma. The whole road. Everybody, we're all at each other's throats. We're all, you can't imagine what it's done in the neighbor relationships. I mean, basically, we all let each other alone for years, you know. Some of these families have lived here for three generations. And apart from, like, the teenagers and 20-year-olds having their typical relationship kind of things going on, it was fairly peaceful to live here, you know. And what this road's main income source was quarries. There's quarries all the way down the back. Well, you know, set back from the road, you can't see them. There's a lot. And almost every family has quarries, and almost every family, that's their main source of income, because bluestone and flagstone, there's a lot of it right here. This is a really good spot mineral rights-wise. We didn't realize that when we bought our house. But there's bluestone, there's flagstone, there's gas, there's oil, there's coal, everything. We weren't thinking of that when we bought the house. We just wanted a farm. We were thinking about the surface, you know.
How long have you owned your house?
Only 4 years.
And when did things change? When did this all start for you?
Not that long after we got here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we had about a year before.
And then they started showing up and leasing?
The landmen started coming around, and we didn't go for it right away because none of us had ever heard of it before. The landmen came around, and they gave us a very casual story. It was a guy that looked kind of like the Marlboro Man, only a little bit older. He had a cowboy hat on, and he had on cowboy boots and jeans, and he stopped by, and he drawled and everything. And he just said, well, you probably haven't heard about this yet, but we just drilled a test well over at Kavanaugh's, and looks like it's doing pretty good. We're thinking about drilling for natural gas in your town, but we probably won't. But just in case we do, we figured we'd just spend like a week offering the opportunity that in the event that we do, you could get some royalty money. And it's kind of like free money, kind of like winning the lottery. And the chances are really good we're not going to drill another well here, because we only need one well every 640 acres. And we could really draw a lot of this gas just from one well. And so if we decide it's good enough, we might drill here. It might be near your property. It might not be anywhere near your property. If you're lucky enough to be within the unit, you might get some royalties. But we'll offer you sign-up money right now, right away, if you'll sign up with the option of, you know, leasing your land. And they told us it was $25 an acre. It hit at a time where we were really vulnerable because, and people are always calling us greedy. I keep seeing things about the greedy landowners, the greedy farmers, all this stuff. What they didn't realize was that everybody on this road was having serious mortgage trouble, serious mortgage trouble, serious tax trouble. Our mortgage is $2,500 a month. We have 8 kids. My husband works as a cook. He does not make a lot of money. And we just had this unbearable mortgage, and we were having a really hard time making it, and we were short that month about $500, and that just happened to be, what the sign-on bonus added up to, was about $500, and so we thought, oh my God, God provided it, you know, and it was amazing, and we started asking each other at church, before we even signed on.
The neighbors.
Oh yes, the neighbors. Did this guy come around? Yeah. And they're like, what do you think, it'll ever drill here? And he's like, he didn't act like he was going to. And everybody really needed the money. And quarry business was starting to go downhill. Now it's at bottom. if they didn't have royalty money coming in, a lot of these families here would be losing their houses. As it was when they printed out the tax sale forms this year, almost everybody on our road was on it. If we're getting rich, we don't know it. You know, where they sheriff sale your house because you couldn't pay your taxes?
Right.
Practically every family on this road was on it.
Yeah. So did you guys consult lawyers or did you just sign on the dotted line? Or
we didn't consult lawyers and we should have. And we kicked ourselves over that one. Mm-hmm. But by the time we went to the notary's office, there's mainly one notary in town here, actually in South Montrose. We went there and we looked at her list of people who had signed. It was everyone surrounding us. Everyone. Especially the farmer who owns the property that wraps on all four sides of my house. So he has hundreds of acres. We knew it was going to be right up close to our property anyway. And like he said, if you sign, we're going to take your gas out from under your house anyway. I mean, if you don't sign, we're going to take it out anyway. And if you do sign, you'll at least make a little royalty money. But we're still going to take the gas.
Huh? How much land do you have?
We have about 24 acres, I think. It's mostly on the other side of the road. We don't have any well drilling on our property. We only have the pipeline on our property. All the wells are on Guestford's property and other people's property. Ours goes in like a strip down the road. We own the hay fields over there and almost all the way down to the bridge. And you could see the pipeline cuts right through the middle of it. But
how disruptive is that when they put in a pipeline on your property?
Oh, I think a lot of people would be pretty shook up. They make it sound like it's just going to be a skinny little ditch, but it looks like they're putting a highway in when they're putting it in. There's a lot of heavy equipment. They take out all the dirt. It's mounded up. It looks pretty scary. It looks like they're putting in at least a 2-lane, maybe a 4-lane highway. It's very wide, and it's a strip. And then when they get done, they fill the dirt back in and they plant something quick growing on top. I think they tried some kind of rye grass or something, but whatever it was didn't take well around here. And then clover came up eventually, and the red clover is doing pretty well, and now it looks pretty good. And it's all the deer are thrilled that they've got these nice big wide strips of clover to eat. And it wasn't there before, you know. But so that was.
Do they just take down trees and anything in their path? Or
it depends where you are. Mm-hmm. I'm conveniently located, surrounded on all four sides by hay fields. So they can use the hay fields. They don't need to cut down the trees. But what they do to the hay fields is they take all the dirt out of the hay fields and they go down pretty far. They make what looks like a giant pyramid. That's not it. It's huge. When they make the drilling pad, they've done it twice there now, so we're pretty used to this process. And it goes up like, I don't know, about 10 feet high. Sometimes some of them are way bigger. They're huge. And if you want to see some, go down 29 towards Springville because you got to be able to see some that are drilling now. But we were a little shocked at how much dirt had to be moved. They basically go down to bedrock, and then they build this pad out of gravel.
This is for the regular drilling part, not for the pipeline.
They're fracking now, or getting ready to frack.
Fracked this one.
Oh, it's been fracked before, but they're getting ready to frack again.
How many times have they fracked it?
I'm not even sure.
So like, they're doing it multiple
times. At some point, they've been drilling or fracking at either that site or this site. For a year and a half without stopping, maybe a little bit more than a year and a half.
So either side of your house has had constant activity for a year and a half?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes.
Weekends?
They made it sound like it was going to take 2 weeks.
That's
and it has
said.
Not stopped since, I'd say, June of last year.
June of 2009?
No, I'm sorry, June of 2008.
2008.
Yeah.
And does that mean there's truck traffic every single day on your road?
It's all night long, too.
And all night?
Yes.
And there's lights on
the road has been rebuilt so many times that...
Who rebuilds the road?
Cabot has to.
They do.
Yeah, they
in
do.
In New York, I don't think we have that rule.
Oh, you better get it. Because you will not believe the wear and tear on the road. Our road was so rutted out. Do you know Josh Fox?
No.
Okay, Josh Fox has been doing a documentary, and he came when it was really rutted out, and I'm pretty sure he got footage of how bad the road was. Do you know Michael LeBron?
I know that name, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he took pictures, but I'm not sure. The way that I met...
Is this for a documentary about this area? Or is this
Josh Fox is making a documentary. Oh, okay. Michael LeBron is doing other things. He's just trying to get help for people around here, I think. But what was funny was the way that he met me was he basically crashed in front of my house with a rented car because he was going to New York City, and then he thought he'd check out what was going on Dimmock on the way back because he owns property in New York and he wanted to see what it was like. And at that point, Cabot doesn't really understand, or didn't really understand at that time, how to fix a dirt road in Pennsylvania, in northeast Pennsylvania. They used red shale, and they put down a whole lot of red shale. And red shale, I know this from living in Wayne County, they use red shale a good bit on the dirt roads that we lived on there, which was another farm. Red shale turns into a very strange flowing thing when it's wet, because it's basically mud. That's been slightly metamorphosized, but not much.
Okay, like so
it turns into something slipperier than ice. I'm not kidding. When you drive on a pure red shale road surface, you're going in and out. It's like undulating. The road is moving while you're driving on it. It's almost impossible to stay up. What happens is you end up with, it comes up like points, the road surface. And there'll be a high point this high off the ground next to a ditch that'll go down like to the ground or a little bit below, and then another high point. And there'll be like six high points maybe, or five high points across the road. And you have to try, your goal is to stay on, it's like driving on railroad rails with your car, but not falling and dropping 2 feet down into the hole. Okay. And the thing moves. So you're not just bouncing on straight lines. We're talking about something that does S curves all the way down, and it's trying to throw you off. Okay, so, it's like a living thing you're trying to drive on. So this poor guy had a rental car, an expensive rental car, and it threw him up on our lawn. That's how we met. Well, he's done quite a bit of help trying to.
Have you guys complained about any of these things that have happened to you? To who do you complain to? Have you complained to the gas company or to the DEP?
Well, if you're going to meet Victoria, Victoria is kind of the professional complainer. She's been handling lots of the complaining end of things.
Okay.
Some people have complained a lot.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really. I tried going to the DEP and saying, our water's not safe to drink. We need water. Uh-huh. I tried going to Cabot and saying that. One time I was quite
upset. Did they give you water?
Upset. No, I've never gotten water from them. And one time I was quite upset, and I went in and I said, look, you know, if you won't listen to me, at least listen to Norma Ferrantino. You know her well blew up.
We were just at her house.
Were you?
She's sick. She has the flu.
Oh, poor lady. I don't know if she gave you much background on
yourself.
We didn't
talk to her because she had the flu. We took pity on her, unlike you.
Well, unlike me, I take pity on her all the time.
I mean, we just started to barge right in on you. Okay.
Okay. I get it. Well, with Norma, the thing is, her husband had just died when all this started. And he was this really cool little Italian farmer guy that used to be a plumber, and He had an assortment of farm animals that he took care of, mainly miniature horses, but he had chickens, he had all kinds of stuff. And I used to stop and talk to him because he was out early in the morning before the school buses feeding them and everything. And we'd always had animals too. Right? This is the first time we even had a whole farm full of animals. And so I talked to him about chickens and cows and horses and stuff. And I really liked him, but he was very healthy, and he worked at a quarry every day with his sons. And then one day he came in to put wood in the fire in the middle of working at the quarry, and he just had a heart attack and died beside the wood stove. So she went through that. That was a bad thing. Since then, a whole bunch of her family members have died, and all tragically. I mean, there wasn't one. I mean, that was a normal thing, but he wasn't that old. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was, you know, the right age for a guy to have a heart attack, but still, he seemed like somebody that could keep on going for another 20 years, you know? And so that was unexpected, but the other ones were things like car accidents, MS, you know, like it just seems like one relative of hers has been getting killed a month, you know? And so she's got that going on. And then before her husband died, she had a cerebral hemorrhage when she was out to eat with him, and blood started coming out of her ears. And she's had a stroke, and she's diabetic, and she's not healthy, right? And so her well blows up, and they came up with four different rumors to discredit her with. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give her any water. They didn't fix her pipes that broke. I don't think they even helped her put the darn well thing back together. And it has been 10 months, and they didn't give her any water.
She's still not
They were using her like their poster child when they'd come around and talk to us. They'd say, oh, Norma can't say enough good things about us. She loves Cabot. She always says that every time she called to complain about anything, we got it to her right away. And I said, well, that's funny. Did you ever give her any water? He said, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, I give her water. How come you don't give her water? He said, oh, I'm sure it's being taken care of. And I said, well, did you ever give her a methane detector? I mean, her well blew up right in front of her house. Did you ever give her a methane detector? That was in the paper that she was supposed to get one. She never got one. They never gave her a filtration system so that she could use her own water. Her pipes weren't even hooked up until like a month ago.
So she would come up to your house to get water?
She was going to one of the neighbors, and then she found out their water had methane in it, too. And see, the thing is, none of us know what our water has in it.
Right.
Because methane doesn't show up by itself. And we didn't have this. Our water was wonderful around here. We had water that people who came to visit us from Philadelphia and New York City would ask to take water home with them. It was that good, you know. And when methane shows up in your water, if it's from gas well drilling, it's not by itself. It's got propane and butane and ethers and metals and radioactivity and all kinds of cool stuff in it, so that you end up with something that's completely different than the water you were drinking.
Did that suddenly happen one day to you, or did you notice it was?
It developed gradually depending on where they were drilling.
Uh-huh.
By the way, nobody in this neighborhood thinks that their water got ruined by fracking. Okay, uh-huh. Probably. After the fracking happened, it did, but our water was all ruined before the fracking. Our water was ruined during the drilling. And
so you could already tell it was bad then?
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
Would you just turn it on and it would smell bad, or was it bubbly? Or what?
We all have different water. None of us have exactly the same water. Mm-hmm. There's more than one aquifer down there. It depends on how deep your water well is. It depends on how close to you they're drilling. It depends on all different things. It's like we've got the flavor of the day, you know. And it's changing all the time because water is moving. And so we don't have the same water every day. What a test might pick up one day, they might not pick up the next day. Or it might stay there for 20 years or 100 years, they told us.
So what did you do? Did you start buying water? What did you do?
I've been buying water myself since November, since the beginning of November, last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
But you
20 gallons or more a week of bottled water.
That's just for drinking?
Just for drinking. Yeah, we still shower and bathe.
And does it smell weird? Or
yeah.
It does?
Sometimes it's pond water smelling, and sometimes it's other smells.
How about the air? Do you smell the gas in the air? Or
sometimes, yeah, it depends what they're doing. Depends on what they're doing.
Not usually. Usually just...
There's so many smells around here. You gotta remember, there's constant diesel fuel smoke in the air. There's burning off the wells smell in the air a lot of the time. There's so much truck traffic all day, all night. I mean, at night, when they were moving the rigs around, you see 20, 25 huge tractor trailer or longer flatbeds going by with equipment on them. That's the thing, is this company is really into speed and getting as many wells set up as they possibly can. It's the total opposite of the real casual guy that mm-hmm. came around and talked to us. Because as soon as they started, there was like 20 wells going on at the same time. By the time Norma's well blew up, there were 20 wells within, I think, a 3-mile radius or a 2-mile radius.
I think I've read that.
They're roughly every 1,000 feet for the verticals, and then they went back in and started putting in horizontals. You can put in 12 horizontals where a vertical is right next to it. So in a short amount of time, we could have, I don't know, 25, 26 right there. What they don't tell you is, they make it sound like it's a once-and-done deal. What they don't tell you is they're going to go and they're going to drill, which... This is very problematic geology here, apparently, because they break their bits constantly. That site over there, I think they had 3 bits break, and they lost them under the ground. They cap off that well, then they drill another well, Then they would go back to the well that they plugged up, open it up, and go back in to try to get the drill bit. And it was kind of funny because every time they'd lose a drill bit, they also lost a whole bunch of apparently very valuable tools. So they had to get their tools back out. And this all involves, you know, a lot of drilling and retrieval and everything. So that's why the constant drilling. And then just the drilling phase alone was like a year. And now they're re-drilling because they're putting in horizontals. And then the other thing is, with fracking, it takes quite a while to frack. That's like 2 weeks at a shot, and then maybe take a week and let things settle and then do it again. So it depends on how well it goes. Here it took forever. But what they don't tell you is that to keep the wells open, one of the site guys told me that you have to come back and frack about once a year, or else they kind of clog up on their own. And so you can pretty well count on, if they're thinking 40 years here, once a year, 40 years for each well.
Do you know where that water that comes back up out of the wells is being taken to from here? Or?
Well, we know. But, you know, we know where we've seen what they do with it. Uh-huh. Whether that's not, I'm sure that they will deny it. Uh-huh. But we've seen them taking the trucks, opening up the big valves, and letting them run for a couple days.
Just anywhere?
Well, they tend to like hay fields, especially hay fields by creeks for some reason. But yeah, and we've gotten water samples, and we've had them tested, and they were full of horrible stuff.
Water samples from the creeks?
Water samples from the truck that was letting the water pour out. Well, we called the DEP, and the DEP wouldn't come. We said we told them exactly where the truck was, and they didn't show up.
But you guys took samples?
Yeah.
And you got that analyzed, but you couldn't. Probably
this
not
is the funny thing is, we don't know what the heck we're doing.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Who does?
It, I mean, afterward they said, "Oh, it should have been a sterilized jar." We used canning jars. They might have been sterile. They might not have been. Probably not super sterile. But the point is, what was in there was way concentrated compared to, you know. I mean, it's not something you could have gotten by accident.
Do you know where the water's coming from that they're using to frack? I mean, are they taking it from the creeks?
Yeah, they're taking it from, well, at first they took it right out of the Meshopin Creek without asking. And yeah, they're supposed to ask first or get a permit maybe. But then they're allowed to reuse it, so it becomes more and more concentrated each time they use it. And a lot of it's staying under the ground, only a little bit of it is coming back up. So it's very, very concentrated. And I know somebody ran some pretty extensive tests on one of the Teal wells and two of the Lewis wells, and they came up with four really high levels of radioactivity, four different elements
those,
or whatever.
I have those papers.
Yeah, do you know?
The testing papers.
Who did the tests?
It was the one down in Scranton.
Okay.
That company, what's it called?
And the wastewater treatment plan
that they're... The wastewater treatment plan had to put their permits on public view at the Tunkhannock Library, mm-hmm. and it was the actual permit that they presented to the DEP, and part of that was the water tests that were done, and the Teal well, and it was Teal and...
Two Lewis wells.
The two Lewis wells.
Lewis 1
and
Teal,
Lewis 2.
Two of them.
Lewis 1 and Lewis 2, they took water samples last August, and the Teal well did have radioactivity in it, but the thing is that what... It's, you know, it's a...
I thought there was more than one that did when I was looking at
it. I don't know if the Lewis's did. I have the paperwork at home because I made copies of... copies of the permits. But the thing is, it's technical. Like, you read the levels. Well, I'm not a scientist. I don't know what's normal and what's not normal.
See, that's how
normal.
It is with our water test. They don't give us any explanation.
Right.
If they only test for certain things. And if those things are something...
Is this the DEP?
The DEP. Or the company. Okay. Cabot ran the test for the permit. And they use a water testing company that's down in Scranton.
Mm-hmm. Quantum?
Yeah, Quantum. That was who it was. Quantum.
They only test for certain things. So I think it's... Now they're doing a more extensive test. I think it might be up to 14 different things.
But they're injecting 250 different chemicals.
Exactly.
We don't know.
And it's not even just what they're... injecting. There's stuff down there that comes back up. That's where the radium, barium and all that stuff. We have barium in our water. Everybody on this road does pretty much. All kinds of weird things. Aluminum, you know.
Yeah,
the thing is that what I I have not had my water tested very much. They tested me in January and found methane right after Norma's well blew up, and a bunch of other things. The levels weren't huge, but enough that they panicked a little bit because they knew I have so many kids in the house. So they were calling me and saying, you got to get that vented. We couldn't get that little screw thing
so
off.
So who was calling you, the DEP? Or
the DEP. They weren't allowed to uncap our well for us, and we couldn't get it open. Because that's a really old pump there, and it was all seized up. And it took my husband a long time to get through the corrosion and take it off.
They couldn't come and do it?
He said he wasn't allowed to. They could come and stand there. They waved their wands around it a lot. This is very comforting, the wand.
Their wands to see if
there's gas? Yes, the methane-detecting wands. They come with wands. The first time they came, they always seemed to come with Cabot. They always had a Cabot employee with them, and the Cabot employee would always be laughing hysterically and very dismissive and say, "We know we're not going to find anything," you know, and stuff like that. And the DEP guy was pretty relaxed, too, until they found something, you know. But they said, "We're going to check your basement just in case there might be methane coming up in your basement since you have a laid stone basement and the floor is earth." So,
and was there?
They didn't find anything in the basement. And they were still pretty jovial, and then they went outside.
Some people have had their basements vented.
Yeah.
I have a friend who lives over that way a little, and she had to have
her
basement
sealed off anyway,
vented.
But her cats like to break the windows.
Other than all these horrible things you're telling me, how has this affected, like, your family and your kids? And or are you just
my
so
kids,
used to it?
My kids, if they drink a cup of water and they think it might have come out of the faucet, they panic. And, I mean, they freak out. And then I'll say, oh, that came out of a jug, and then they calm down. But for the longest time, when we were told our water was okay to drink. And they said, you can go ahead and drink it. Methane won't hurt you. Methane, if you let the jug sit out open for a minute, it'll go away. And so we kept drinking it. And one thing we noticed, before Norma's well blew up, I got to get things in sequence for you here. First thing that happened with water after they started drilling was Julie Soutner up the road in a nice house with some pretty landscaping out in front. And she's got one of the white vents near she's on the left side, heading up that way. She had just moved into that house. It was up for sale for like 2 or 3 years. Our house had been up for sale really long too. And our house was due to foreclose the same day we bought it. So we waived all the inspections and stuff. And hers had been up for sale even longer. And so it was like an event when somebody bought that house. It was like, oh, cool, that house isn't empty anymore. So I went over to meet them, and she was outside. And the one thing I had noticed was that there were large jugs and large cubes of water sitting out there, tanks, temporary tanks of water. And this is before any of us had ever heard of contamination of water by gas companies. I just assumed something had gone wrong with her well pump or her well, right? I mean, it never crossed my mind to put these two together. And so I said, oh, what happened? Is your well not working or something? And she said, well, we got all this sediment coming in, and it's clogged up my brand new washer. It's clogged up our well pump, and it's not working. And she said, the water's just full of dirt. And she said, I think it's from Baker number one well across the road, because she was directly across the road from Baker number one. And I was really surprised, because nobody else has said anything. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, it's dirty water, really dirty. So that was the end of that. And it happened to her on September 11th that year. She was the first one that noticed anything in her water. And Jean and Ron Carter go to church with me in Dimmock. And so we see each other every Sunday at least, and they're my next door neighbors. So we were asking how the drilling was going. Everybody was very excited about it. We all thought income. That's all we thought. You know, it was like, oh, you know, we'll get out of debt. And then she came to church one day and she looked really concerned, and she said, Pat, my water went bad. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, our well went bad. And I said, what's in it? And she said, we don't know. It just smells bad and you can't drink it. And I thought, whoa, you know, that shook me up. And then I said, do you think it has something to do with the drilling? Because they're drilling right next to our house. And she said, we don't know. But we went and told the Cabot people. And they said it wasn't. And then they tested it. They sent for a test, and they said it had bacteria in it, fecal coliform. And they said, oh, that's not us. Drilling doesn't get fecal coliform into your water. However, these hay fields have had manure spread on them constantly for many years, and they had been doing it that year too. And they changed the way that the water runs off of the fields completely, very dramatically and drastically, because this used to be a flat field. The water mostly just kind of sat in it and sank in slowly. And if it didn't, it rolled out towards the dirt road, went down the dirt road. When they came, they put roads in, one over that way, going into the well. And then there's another one that goes, see those little trees there by the birch tree?
Yes.
Our property line is just on the other side of that. And there's a road right there.
Yeah, I see it.
That's
yeah.
the road they put in to access the wells. When that got went in, then the water drained into the road. Well, you want to come out here and I'll show you the erosion situation? It's not that bad, but it's just what it can do. It's not raining hard right now, but normally if it's raining, there's a waterfall coming down. This was all flat, okay? There's a waterfall that comes down right there and it hits that rock. It's like a cute little Niagara Falls little waterfall that comes off. That's all water that was hitting the hay field, goes into the road. You know, we're the greedy landowners that wanted all the money. We weren't even thinking it was going to be a lot of money. We thought it was going to be $25 an acre, and that was going to be the end of it, because they told us they weren't going to drill here, probably. So, but you're going to need to do your homework. You're going to need to basically become a hydrogeologist. And I'm not kidding. You would not believe how much research I have had to do into rock layers and permeability and water and what it can do and methane and all of its accompanying chemicals, metals, ethers.
You learn more about gas drilling than you ever.
Yes. Ever you can plan to. On developing a second job, staying up all night researching all this crap so that you hopefully we'll end up with kids that don't have cancer or feel poisoned all the time or whatever, you know. But, you know, and another thing is they're not going to hand you anything. You're going to have to beg for water. You're going to have to beg for everything to get fixed. They will ignore you for like a year unless something really, really catastrophic happens to them. Like they get shut down. The only reason that they're helping Norma right now, I mean, she's been asking for help steadily. Everybody's asking for help for her for about a year. The only reason they're helping her now is because that particular article on the front page of the Scranton Times just happened to embarrass them a little more than usual. That's the only reason. And so you not only have to get a degree in hydrogeology, you also have to get a degree in psychology to learn how to manipulate the people who have totally taken over your entire life. Because that's what it is like. Okay. My kids used to be able to ride their bikes on this road. You can't. It's not safe. There are too many huge trucks going up and down it all the time. When the road turned into a moving red shale ribbon, it wasn't safe to ride a bike on the road because you went flying into the ditch constantly. One of my daughters had two concussions from flying off of her bike. Two. And right in front of our house. Because, you know, if you slid on the red shale, you went into the ditch and you hit hard rock. And, you know, I just finally said, don't ride your bike on the road anymore. But, you know, you'd move to a dirt road in the middle of the country in the Susquehanna County, Nowheresville, you know, so that your kids can play outside, you know. You don't know who these guys are that are over here drilling. They're probably not background checked in any way. I mean, they have access to all your property. They can go on and all as much as they want to, pretty much, you know. They're around all the time putting up their cute little ribbon flags and stuff. But, you know, there's an example of what it does to the neighbors. That guy in the red truck, you know, is giving me a dirty look. He owns the property that wraps around ours. And he's probably not happy that I'm talking. But, you know, it's just, we've never talked about suing the property owners. we don't feel they've caused the problem, you know. But that is a possibility, and I'm sure they know it, especially the ones with lots of property and that have the wells on them and everything. They're making money hand over fist, but they're not offering anyone any help. And there's a lot of people around here that have just little lots, and their water's ruined, and they're not getting any help from anybody. Yeah, Cabot gave a few more people water, but most of us still don't have water. They quit testing for some reason, most of us. And the last report we got back was from a January test. They tested us in March, told us it was going to be a much more involved test, never gave us the report. Still don't know. We don't know what's in there. All we know is that whatever is in there, you don't get rid of it by boiling it. You kind of concentrate it. Because if you put our tap water through a coffee maker, you basically come up with a laxative. And I'm talking a lot stronger than coffee. And, if you drink the water inside, my kids get stomach cramps, really wicked stomach cramps. And I have not quite to the extent that I think they do, but my kids either throw up or have diarrhea as soon as they drink the water, even if they only drink a little. My husband was saying that it doesn't bother him, and we were out of water. And I thought, well, I have lupus, and it's getting aggravated by all of this. and I have a whole handful of pills to take, so I went and I took some pills with, I'd say, a third cup of water. And that was the first time in, like, 4 months that I'd drunk the water. And I thought I'd be okay. And I felt okay as long as I was sitting down. And then I stood up a few minutes later and started to walk across the living room. And I had the worst stomach cramp. It was like, you know, the contractions you get right before birth, okay? I went flying into the kitchen hoping to make it to the bathroom. Didn't make it to the bathroom. Threw up in the kitchen trash can 4 times until I was so empty that I heaved, basically, you know, dry heaves. That was just from drinking this much water in a cup, okay? There's something in there that hits you like you just took Ipecac, you know? That's what it's like. It's like taking Ipecac. I don't know what it is. And it comes and goes, I think. But you can tell when it's bad because if one of our cats drinks inside water, they sit there, they make a weird noise, like, and then they throw up. And when they throw up, it's only water. It's not their cat food or anything. It's not like they ate a mouse and got sick or had a hairball. I mean, this is water that they're barfing. And it's not just me that's had this happen. It seems like all the cats on the road are doing this.
That was Pat, a resident of Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, speaking to members of the Shale Shock Anti-Fracking Coalition. Let's take a music break and we'll return with the next witness.
There are places where there are hills. They're not just called hills, they're really hills. And there are places where there are forests, not like 12 pines, but really forests. There are places where the birds sing, you can hear the eagle call. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond the mall. There are places where there are rivers, not surrounded by concrete, but living rivers with fish in them and frogs and little tadpoles, with ducks and deer drinking by the sinkholes. There are places far away, the trees turn colors in the fall. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond the mall. There are places you can see the sky, not neon signs and billboards, but just the sky. There are places with dirt on the ground, without miles of asphalt, not a car around. Where on and in the soil, good little critters crawl. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond the mall. There are places like that, and things don't have to like this. I mean, not just cosmetic changes, things really don't have to be like this. There are places where people know their neighborhood, where people live there, and they think that life is good. There are places like that, somewhere on this spinning ball. I know they're out there, somewhere beyond the mall. that I know I've got to find. Otherwise, I will undoubtedly lose my mind. Otherwise, I'll end up just like you on Ritalin or Prozac or whatever things you do. I'm going where the water is blue and the trees are oh so tall. I know they're out there somewhere beyond them all.
That was David Rovix singing Somewhere Beyond the Mall. That song is an exact description of my home, the place they want to destroy with their gas wells. The next witness is Joyce. Her testimony highlights the fracturing of community and the perfidy of public officials that occurs as the capitalist system and its culture of obedience divides and conquers on the basis of dreams of wealth.
You said that 20 miles from here, they wanted to build a power plant that was going to have 10 coal power plants and 10 nuclear power plants.
That was
1975.
Okay.
And so here we are thinking, okay, we've lost, they're going to cut down all the forests of New Hampshire and ship the wood to China and all these other problems that we were facing, all the soil going down the Connecticut River because of the dams along the river. And when they dropped the dams, the farmers were losing their land. And, you know, problem after problem. But coming here, and 1 week later, they're saying, oh, we need your help. So we worked on that. I researched it up at Cornell. A small group of us were able to defeat this huge, the biggest energy park ever proposed, insane, along the Susquehanna River with just a very small water flow. Okay, then, so for the last 34 years, we've been fighting one problem after another. We lost Ben in a kayaking accident 10 years ago. He spent his life trying to fight everything bad and decided when he was in his 50s he was going to start doing something for himself and got back into doing kayaking again. But anyways, then we had the threat. I'm just leading up to you that the proportion of what I feel is happening what 34 years experience here. Then that they were going to build a low-level nuclear waste site. Yeah, go ahead, sit down if you can. And we fought that. We were involved with this group called Return Susquehanna Country Under Ecology. It started up about 25 years ago to try to clean up the landfills that had toxic chemicals in Susquehanna County. All the things that we've been involved in all these years just absolutely pale. And I'll tell you that, you know, when this first came out, after living through that Valdez horrible experience I really, as an objective scientist, tried to think about what would be the best for me to do with my land here. Everybody at the time was saying, I'm going to have a well here and a well here and a well up there. That didn't make any difference whether I signed up or not. They were going to suck out my little 5.8 acres of gas. And after thinking about it for a year, I finally regrettably signed a no surface lease because I figured that also I'm going to be putting up with hell with them being all around me for the rest of my life. And I thought I'm not going to succeed anything because they already own 90% of Susquehanna County at least. And that was a year ago.
Susquehanna County is leased.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll bet it's up now to 99.99.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
And I hated to do it. Ben and I, you know, were the diehard environmentalists. He built dulcimers. We got very little money for that. He worked on road construction job up in New York State. He was, you know, the foreman where it required a lot of intelligence what he was doing. But we've lived on very little. He didn't have any, you know, life insurance policy or anything. So I'm essentially living on Social Security and wetland work that I get, because I love protecting wetlands and it keeps my mind sharp and I'm always learning new things and everything. You know, I tell people that you do have a wetland, don't do this, you know, save your money, don't even have me do this environmental assessment. I'm essentially, you know, living like $9,000 a year as well. So like everybody else, I'm figuring, you know, bastards are going to get the gas anyway, so I went along with it, and my environmental lawyer convinced me that they would. But Cabot, I looked and researched them to begin with, and I thought that they seemed to be technologically, you know what the heck they were doing a year ago. You look at their websites, and it seems like they've got this down and all. And so, I mean, I still felt like one other incident in my life where I had to sign my signature that was, or a couple that was very, very difficult. And a lot of other people felt this way, too. It's like signing your life away even when you do it. But so anyways.
It's a horrible decision to have.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I wish that they had never come. Obviously, we had peace and tranquility before, and it's just been an absolute living hell. And, you know, I've been on this Woodburn Committee for 34 years. I'm talking off the record here, two individuals have proposed that we allow the sanctuary to have fracking underneath it. And it's driving me crazy because people that I've had for friends for 34 years, I no longer consider my friends. Cabot, you know, is building right here on the corner of my property. That would be such a beautiful nature center. I mean, it's got this wetland below it, and it used to be a little small clinic, an outreach clinic. I tried to get the neighbors mobilized to go in with me because a few months ago it was out, came out in the newspapers that Cabot was storing all their methanol barrels in South Montrose up the road here, and the people were all complaining. Go ahead and sit down. People were all complaining that, that they were worried that those chemicals might be leaking. So I tried to email, all the neighbors to try to get them to go in with me to talk to Cabot, and turned out to be a really upsetting experience for me. Well, Lynn was involved with that. I didn't hear back from anybody, so then I wrote to Lynn and a couple of my friends, and I said, I can't get anyone to go in with me. And Lynn, being a courageous person, said to me, I'll go in with you. What the hell's wrong with these people? And I even said in my email, we will be very respectful, because that's the way I've always done everything with my husband, is to go in with knowledge and research and everything. And Lynn just happened, and I didn't know Lynn had sent this to everybody on my road.
In my email, I said, what does it take for people to get pissed off? That's what I wrote.
Yeah. And she said, why the need to feel polite?
Right. Why do we have to be polite?
So my weak-hearted neighbors just interpreted that I was going to go in and make some ugly,
really
embarrassing scene.
And it caused Joyce all this grief because they had written,
Yeah, they just refused. They were saying that, but they were just cowards and didn't want to go in. So finally I called up my neighbor down the road. She finally said, well, okay, I'll go in with you, Joyce, to talk to Cabot. But she said, only under the condition that, you're going to be polite and this isn't going to become a confrontation and I'm going to be embarrassed because she has a high position in Montrose. And I was like, what are you talking about? I have no intentions of doing that. Well, anyways, apparently that's what everybody had in mind. And after protecting this Cope estate for 34 years here, the owner was up on the hill here, and I called her up, and I said, why didn't you want to go in with me? And she said, because I, whatever the wording, that she didn't want to go in and be involved in this ugly confrontational mess. And she used the exact expression that this woman down the road had just said to me 2 hours earlier. And I knew they had gone out to dinner the night before up in Montrose. And so I knew that woman up there, after protecting her family for 34 years and doing 1,000 slide programs on the value of Woodburn, couldn't even walk in, and her property adjoins Cabot's property that was going to have the barrels of methanol. And she was trying to sell this part of her property that adjoins that property. So it's been so frustrating for me. I mean, I blew it with that woman. I just said, how could you accuse me of this, after all that I've done all my life to try to help protect the environment, that you think I'm going to make some embarrassing scene? So it's been so extremely disappointing. And I tried talking to some friends of mine, and they were like, well, Joyce, I'm probably showing it here, but they said, we know you get upset about things. Well, okay, thank God I do get upset about things. These people here, they're all so influenced by their religion that...
And what's their religion?
It comes close to fundamental Baptist, but even the Methodists around here
Christian area, they're very conservative Christians, I guess you could call
them. They don't care if the environment's being raped or whatever is happening, but you don't speak up. And heavens forbid that you get upset about something.
The culture here is not to stand out, not mm-hmm. to have an opinion, not to speak out. You know, that's
sure
our
is.
Be very reverential. Don't right. don't raise it anymore. Don't make
right.
it.
You know, what is the difference between you giving them rights to yield but not surface rights, and the fact that they would just go on under it? I mean, what difference does that make environmentally? That doesn't really make
because when they do the fracking, they are supposedly a mile and a half under your ground.
Is that right?
Right.
So,
but for you, when you said you signed your rights away, but no surface rights, why is that worse than just having them go under? But oh, maybe they can't do that here. In New York, they can do compulsory integration. They can go under your land anyway.
You
don't have that. Maybe.
We don't have compulsory integration.
Oh, okay. So they wouldn't have been able to go under your land.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't have gotten
okay.
any money out of
it. In New York, they can go under your land anyway. So
really?
Yeah. But they pay you for it, even though
60% of the
But
area.
You can't stop them?
No, they can make a block a certain size. And if you're if they get 60% of the land leased in that area, they can go use the other 40%.
That's so why we're here is to find out, what would you say to New Yorkers? I mean, we're from Ithaca.
Give
it hasn't happened
advice.
Yet. It hasn't happened.
I tell you, I honestly, and being objectively, you know, I went to a Sierra Club meeting in Binghamton last spring, and the people there thought that they could just convince people in general not to sign up, and that was all there was to it. Well, before I signed up, as I said, already I didn't even know it, but probably 90% of the county had signed up. It is totally unrealistic to think you're not going to get people to sign up. You know, and now the going price is $6,000 an acre. I mean,
oh, yeah. We only have 40% of our county. It's going only 40% of our county is already signed. You know.
I saw that. Yeah, my two daughters live in Ithaca, and my one daughter just bought property right in Danby on the line.
Well, Danby's a lot of people there have signed leases.
Yeah, and I was just out at this flower farm where she works, and the owner of that. Near Enfield said that she saw a helicopter surveying their property. The only way, it just seems like the environmental regulations are the only thing that we have to control what they do. And they came in here, and the environmental regulations are absolutely just about non-existent.
Ours are about to be approved, as you know, and they're going to be useless, too.
Well, at least they waited a year. I mean, I've been trying to deal with the very low-educated representatives here for so many issues for so many years. I've never been so feeling helpless as I do now with these representatives. I mean, I sent her this email that I got from the senator's office where, you know, what was he saying? That he didn't think that this wonderful article that came out, that it was...
Gene Noss is our senator. Drilling, and he sent an email to Joyce, and it was pretty much just trashing ProPublica, and he referenced Wikipedia. That one of his constituents sent him a Wikipedia article about ProPublica, and then he quoted the Wikipedia article saying that ProPublica was accused by Dave Koppel, who has this show on Fox. Of being, you know, this really left-wing, you know, person, and so that he was using this as his justification to not listen to anything that ProPublica had to say. This Wikipedia article, and so I sent back to him ProPublica's rebuttal to Dave Koppel's program. And his representative, his secretary, said that she would make sure he read it. But, I mean, this is what you're dealing with, people like this who just, first of all, they don't read anything, and then what they do read is, you know, stuff like that, and they don't look into it any further. Just because Wikipedia and Dave Koppel said that ProPublica is a left-wing organization, well, that's the end of the story. They can't possibly have anything of value to say. The other thing about Genial I want to point out is we have something in this area called clean and green. So if you sign your acreage on as a clean and green acreage, you have to have 10 acres or more. You get a tax, your taxes are reduced considerably. When you sign that paper for clean and green, I did it myself when I had land. It is in clear, plain English. It's not it's not like this legalese.